It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
John the Baptist was struggling in prison, and Jesus sent him a message that said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And then there was Paul and Silas, and they were doing quite well in prison. They were singing praises, and they didn't even leave when the prison door swung wide open for them. That's the difference, folks. If you make up your mind not to be offended by your situation, not to be offended by your limited understanding, but to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, you will be able to say of the Lord, "He is my refuge, my fortress. He is my strength. And it doesn't matter what this situation is playing out. I have a relationship with Jesus, and everything is well in the heavenly realms. Everything is well in the spiritual realm. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If I don't see it happen on earth, it's already happened in heaven, and I'm going to dwell in there. My spirit dwells there already. I am one with Jesus in spirit, and in the name of God, I'm going to rise above this mess." And it doesn't matter how it's playing out, you have everything in Christ. And the problem is that we're offended by the wrong things. People will be offended by a change in the order of the service at church. There are people who will get so upset if something changes in the service, but then if you tell them that they're living in sin and they got to make a correction, they'll get offended at you because, "How dare you tell me that what I'm doing is wrong?" Well, this is what the problem is, and this is why a lot of people don't go further with the Lord, and why they don't experience the blessings that are already theirs in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because they're not pursuing those spiritual blessings. They're not looking to the unseen. They're looking to the seen, which is temporal, and therefore they're falling victim and prey to the temporal demons that are hounding them. They're falling victim and prey to temporal sickness, to poverty, to lack, whatever it is. They're falling prey because they're not looking past these things for their eternal life. They're looking to these things to satisfy them and make them happy. When they're all going to be passing away, when all this stuff, this world is just a temporary transitional time, and we ought to be looking past it, seeking first the kingdom of God and developing our relationship with God so much that nothing phases us on this level. But the problem is, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. There are still people who are offended because of Jesus. And one, maybe it's because they're so familiar with what they've heard all their lives in church, they just don't know how to stand on faith and move forward. I've heard the name of Jesus. They've heard the Bible stories all their lives. And to them, it's just the name of Jesus and Bible stories all their lives. And that's the way it was in Mark chapter 6. They said, "Is not this the carpenter, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. You know, they become so familiar with Jesus, and you've become so familiar with church. You've become so familiar with the teachings that you're constantly listening to. All these teachings that you're listening to, you got the party line down. You know how to say the right things, but you're not absorbing them. You're not appropriating them into your heart, into your spirit. You're not spending time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord. You're just taking in all this food, but you're not getting the food for yourself. You ought to become teachers now, they said. Hebrews chapter 5 says you ought to be teachers by this time. We ought to all be taking the things of the Lord and appropriating them and moving forward with them. But instead, we get so familiar with the language, with the subculture of the Christian faith. We get so familiar with things going on in church. And it was just like them in Jesus' hometown. "Is this not the son of Mary, the brother of James?" "Oh, this is just Jesus. This is what we do all the time. This is what we believe all the time." And we've become so familiar, and we need to get understanding and vision. I've been talking a lot about understanding lately. We have to understand. We have to have understanding. We get all bent out of shape because it seems like the Lord is asleep in the boat. He's not asleep. He was at that time when the disciples came and said, "Don't you care? We're perishing." But see, they lacked understanding. They didn't know that he really wasn't sleeping, because in Psalm 121, it says, "The Lord neither sleeps nor slumbers, and he'll preserve your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." See, they weren't looking past the scene. They weren't walking by faith at that moment. They weren't looking into the spiritual realm where it says the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers. But they saw something with their eyes that suggested otherwise, and they went with that. Well, you know, yes, Jesus was sleeping. I'm not going to say he wasn't sleeping there. But what I was saying is that you got to look past the natural and look to the spiritual. Grasp hold of the spiritual truth. And in the spirit, God was not sleeping. The Lord neither sleeps nor slumbers. And the Lord has his hand on you and me. And the Lord is not going to let us perish. The Lord is not going to let us sink. The Lord has got us. The Lord has given to us already in the spiritual realm. But you're looking at the natural right now saying, where is it? And you're getting offended. You're being caused to stumble. And that's what we've been talking about. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You've made some choices because of Jesus, and now it seems like maybe it hasn't worked out. Good news, friend. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You are blessed if you continue on in the faith and you look past what is seen and look to what is unseen, for what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. And it's going to come forward for you. It already has come forward for you in the spiritual realm, and that's where you need to live. You need to live in the spiritual realm. Though we are on this earth and we are in the earth, we are not of the earth, and we don't let the earth dominate us or this present time dominate us the way the spiritual should dominate us. I'm not saying you neglect your responsibilities. I'm not saying you don't have to deal with things. You do have to deal with things, but you can let them come under the dominance of the spiritual. You could say, I'm blessed in the Lord, and this situation is not a blessing right now, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm blessed. And you are blessed. You are greater than John the Baptist in the kingdom. And Jesus said that. He said there was no one greater born of woman on earth than John the Baptist, but greater is the least in the kingdom of God here. You were born again. You've received the Holy Spirit of God. You've received the covenant blessings that John will have that, but on earth, he didn't have access to those covenant blessings. It wasn't completed yet, the conditions to bring that new covenant in. We are in a greater dispensation, and we have it all. And it's not just in the physical realm. It's more in the spiritual realm. God promises to bring it into the physical. And it will come. And eternal life is right now in him. It's not in these things coming to pass that we need to see happen so badly. Now, all that being said, don't mistake me. I'm not saying don't look for it in the natural realm. Yes, look for it in the natural realm, but don't get bent out of shape if things don't play out immediately the way you're expecting it to. Because the Lord wants us to get it first that he is the source of our life. I've been saying, I got the phrase from somebody online that the Lord is the vine. He's not the vending machine. And the vine, it's a good quote because it gets our priorities straight. Are you a gimme, gimme, gimme Christian? Or are you a receiving Christian? You're receiving the life that comes in the spirit. It's not the life that comes from things or the answer to a certain problem. But God wants to answer your problems. God wants to give you the things, and he promises to do that. And you'll see that if you hang in there and you're not offended, you will come out of this. You will come out of your dilemma. You will make it. The problem is a lot of times people get offended, and that's it. Boy, I'm glad the woman from Canaan didn't get offended when Jesus called her a dog in Matthew chapter 15. She had a child, her daughter, was grievously vexed with a devil, and she came after him, and the disciples said, send her away, she's not a Jew. But then he answered and said, I'm not sent to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, right there, she could have been offended. She said, well, I'm not of the house of Israel. But she pressed forward, she kept at him. She says she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Man. There, I mean, a word spoken from Jesus right there. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the Jews. We would have gone away, or, you know, most people would have gone away and said, I guess I just need to give up. You know, this doesn't look good in the natural. Well, and she didn't give up. She had some faith there, but when she exercised that faith, a commendable thing to do, she went, I mean, the first exercise of faith was she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Even after he told her, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the house of Israel. There's some even greater faith. She comes forward. It was enough that she came the first point. But then she comes after he gives her a denial right there. And she worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. And he answered, and things didn't get better. They got worse. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Well, now he's not just saying, "Oh, I came not for you, but for the house of Israel," but now he's calling her a dog. And that was a very insulting thing to do. And that's something that a lot of us don't understand. Why would Jesus have called her a dog? And we've heard some interpreters say, well, he was testing her. Oh, he kind of winked at her when he said it, or he was using humor to say that. I just don't know. I don't get it. But one thing I get out of this is that she wasn't offended by it. Here was something that was totally offensive that came her way that could have caused her to just shake her fist in anger and say, well, who are you? I don't need you anyway. Or, you know, whatever. She could have made these choices. She could have given up in despair and say, I guess he doesn't want to help me and leave. Or she could have gotten angry, say, well, who are you to say you're a Jew? And you know, there was a big enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. So she wasn't offended. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now look, she made it. She got what she needed because she continued on instead of being offended. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And here's the whole thing, you know, you keep on with Jesus and you're going to get it. Even if you don't meet the criteria, well, I'm not good enough. It doesn't matter. You're good enough in him. You've got the righteousness of God through his blood. You're justified by his blood. So, well, you know, I haven't been a good Christian. It doesn't matter. She wasn't a good Jew. She wasn't even a Jew. But she kept on because she had faith in him. She had faith that he would come through, even when he gave her a nasty remark like calling her a dog. You know, I know some people who have been troubled going to church because they don't like the politically incorrect language, and they get uptight, and that offends me. Well, you know, then they leave. They don't continue on, and they miss the blessing. They miss what they need. They miss eternal life because their egos are hurt. And we've become so egocentric in this culture. We're like little gods. You have to give me tolerance. Well, you get your tolerance, but you're not getting any love. This culture is a very tolerating culture, but it's not giving you what you really need. You don't need tolerance. You need love. And you need to learn how to be intolerant about what is contrary to love and what is contrary to good and what is contrary to God's standards, because God has the best in mind for us. But yet, because you're an egocentric God, you're going to be offended and you're not going to continue to pursue and seek the truth. It's just messed up. The Bible calls us sinners. And the reason you got saved, if you're saved, is because you weren't offended by being called what it is. You are a sinner. You were a sinner. But now that you've been made the righteousness of God, well, there's some religious people who are offended when we say you're the righteousness of God. They say, you think you're righteous? You think you're something? Well, yeah. Yeah, I do, because that's what the scripture teaches. That's what it says we get by faith. But the religious people, like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, will say, who is he to be saying these things? Who is he who thinks he can get God to move for him? Who is he who thinks he can accept or have power and authority on this earth? We are. And because we believe that, we're more tempted to be disappointed when we don't see it happen. But this is the thing I'm trying to say. Don't be offended when it doesn't happen, because it is happening, whether you see it or not, in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when you can get that, you're going to see it happen more and more in the earthly realm, because that's the promise of Scripture. And the promises do play out. The promises are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it takes patience. It's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. But if you get offended and you walk away because you were called a dog, you're going to miss the actual promise. You're going to miss the blessing. Keep on with Jesus. Find the blessing in him where it doesn't matter if you get anything more, because that's really what it's all about, getting our eternal life, our life sap from the vine, not the product from the vending machine, not the answer. He is the answer. But oh, those answers will flow when you have your priorities straight, and when you're so engulfed in him, the prison doors will swing open and it won't matter. You'll say, okay, we can go, whatever. As long as I have Jesus, I have everything.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. Be blessed. and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.